Welcome to the Bovada at Odds podcast. I'm your host, Seth Everett. The head odds maker at BovadaSportsbook.com is Patrick Mara. Patrick, I know that we're a sports show, but I wanted to see if you know some of the results from this week's Oscars, the Academy Awards, because something really funny happened, and I thought it was the TV moment, and it has nothing to do with John Cena taking his clothes off.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't think Ricky Gervais was hosting again, so it couldn't have been that funny.
That would have been awesome, too.
But, okay, only because social media never stops. I know Robert Downey Jr. won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
Yes, Oppenheimer, which is a good movie that I fell asleep with during twice.
There you go. I'm probably not going to watch it now based on that non-endorsement. And I know Christopher Nolan won Best Director, I think, for that as well. Otherwise, no idea what happened.
He did The Dark Knight, which was also great.
Dark Knight was amazing. But I did see, for better or for worse, the John Cena just covering up his equator, I guess. But so that's the extent of my Oscars knowledge, already exhausted less than a minute into the show.
No, there was a funny thing about it. And I thought that, you know, because you're the head odds maker, that you know who wins and loses. They brought on to present something Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. Famously, they did Twins, correct? Mm-hmm. Twins. That's their famous movie, right?
Like, that's the one. Their movie. It wasn't Alien versus Predator.
No, it was not. They come out and they start talking about why they're together, because they were both beaten by Batman.
Ah, okay.
Danny DeVito was the Penguin in Batman Returns, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was Mr. Freeze in Batman and Robin, which was a George Clooney's Batman movie.
That one was so cheesy.
Oh my god.
Say freeze, Seth. Say freeze. Ice to meet you. How do I even know these? I couldn't remember any line, but I could just remember what is the most ridiculous over-the-top thing you can say, and that was it. Ice to meet you.
Not only have I seen that movie, I saw that movie with the director's commentary, the late, great Joel Schumacher.
Oh, my God.
It's a terrible movie. And it set the superhero genre industry back. And it wasn't until Blade, a few years later, and ultimately X-Men, where superhero movies started to become big again. But I thought it was so funny that these two guys, I only saw the clip. I didn't see it live. But I saw the clip, and they start talking about how they both fell to Batman. And then Danny DeVito goes, wait a minute. There he is, and he pointing to like the first row, and it's Michael Keaton, and he brings his hands up and it goes, come on. That was so funny.
I still think the underrated part of that story, Seth, is you watching Batman and Robin and thinking, I'm gonna stick around for the director's commentary afterwards.
I watched the director's commentary. I was a completist, and I remember when Blu-rays were the big deal, I bought the Batman collection, and it was all four: Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin. I know more information about those four movies than I can admit.
There's got to be not a single post-credit Easter egg that you have missed
Although there is a rumor, there's a big rumor in the superhero world that Batman Forever, this is a tangent, this was not what I was planning on the podcast. There's a big rumor that there is a 3-hour director's cut of the Val Kilmer, and that Warner Brothers forced Joel Schumacher to not dumb it down. What's the phrase that I'm thinking of?
I don't know. Cut it.
Well, they wanted to cut it, but they wanted to make it more kid friendly.
And not three. Well, not making it 3 hours is kid friendly.
No. But it's not even that. There was some dramatic stuff in there that they took out because it was making it more adult. Batman to me is an adult superhero.
Yeah, well,
look at Dark Knight. Look at the Dark Knight. Yeah. Look at the Dark Knight Rise. That's what Batman should be, right? Yep. Even the Michael Keaton Batman movies had some depth to them. Mm-hmm. Joel Schumacher in that commentary says, I was told to do a big commercial for toys.
Yeah, Jim Carrey as the Riddler was also just way out there. You mentioned Blade for a sec. Very curious franchise in that, you know, I kind of liked the first one. Mm-hmm. The second one was incredible to the part where I think I probably even had nightmares for a little bit. I'm dating myself a little bit, but
Wow.
the idea of vampires feeding on vampires, holy crap. I'm someone who has always liked the vampire genre from a very young age, fascinated by them, terrified of them. Thank God they're fictitious. Sure hope they are. And then the third one got kind of stupid and silly again with Ryan Reynolds, Jessica Biel, and a little bit too much trying to nail the funny line, because
Totally.
I thought the second one was dark. Oh, that opening scene in the Blood Bank, if you haven't seen it, that is a great, great movie. The Blade series overall pretty good, but Blade 2 outstanding.
Well, I'm not a big proponent of vampires. Vampires don't do a lot for me. Dracula doesn't do a lot for me. I saw Castlevania. I thought that was pretty good. The Sandman is pretty good. In modern day stuff, but I remember when X-Men came out, I was amazed that they were making a movie based on the X-Men.
For
And
sure.
people were quick to tell me that's not the first Marvel movie. Blade is. So I went back and saw Blade. Like, I never saw Blade in the theater. It's not because I cared about Blade. It was more, I'm not a vampire guy. But once I found out it was a Marvel movie, I went, oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'd say most of the modern vampire movies are pretty crap these days, but Dracula, Bram Stoker is very good.
The original.
The original. Interview with the Vampire, incredible, incredible movie. Love that. Very rewatchable. Blade 2, those would probably be my top three, and then everything else kind of falls off the cliff after that.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, let's get to some sports. Are you familiar with the mania around the NHL for this young punk, Matt Rempe?
I can honestly say I have no familiarity at all.
Okay. Matt Rempe, for you and for our listeners, is a young player that the Rangers have called up, and he's a big, tall, Hulk of a
Okay.
guy.
Didn't know the name. I know right now exactly who you're talking about.
Oh,
Yes.
good. Oh, good. And he made his debut in the NHL Stadium Series, the outdoor game at MetLife Stadium, against the New York Islanders, and got into a couple of fights. So a lot of people saw that game. There were 80,000 people in the stadium. They saw it. He became a household name. Okay, fine.
Move
When
over Tommy DeVito.
the Rangers, that's right, the Rangers played New Jersey at Prudential Center shortly after the MetLife game, and Matt Rempe took a dirty, uncalled for hit on Nate Bastian, and Nate Bastian hasn't been back since. The Devils wound up going out and trading for an enforcer, this guy Curtis McDermott, whose father played in the NHL and fought Ken Danica, which I thought was very cool. Anyway, Curtis McDermott is literally just there to protect, Jack Hughes, and it's kind of an old school hockey thing. So Curtis McDermott skated by Rempe and said, "You want to go?" And Rempe didn't. He backed off. And McDermott is as big as Rempe is. And then in the second period, Jonas Siegenthaler had his head down, and Matt Rempe, with another cheap bullshit shot, knocked Jonas Siegenthaler out cold. Got a 5-minute major and a game misconduct. This fucker better get suspended.
Woo! There we go.
He is Tom Wilson. He is Claude Lemieux. He is worse than all of that, because what he doesn't have, unlike those other players who do cheap shots and things like that, he's not talented. He has no other purpose to be there. He sucks. And this guy, that's twice. And McDermott, and I want to show you the quotes because I put them all over Instagram.
As I put them all over Instagram. While
Here's
you're
what
looking for
Curtis
that.
McDermott said:
All right, all
"You
right.
don't do things like that when you're in your first year in the league. I lost quite a bit of respect for him tonight. I just wish I caught up to him quicker and taught him a lesson." That's Curtis McDermott.
Between you and the royal family, Instagram's a pretty wild place these days. Did you see the controversy with Princess Kate?
Yeah, she altered a photo.
Yeah, because she hasn't been seen in public since like December, when she went into the hospital for some sort of procedure. And did like the laziest Photoshop ever. Now, I don't know if she did it or someone on staff did it. I assume nobody in the royal family actually touches anything with their social media, but well, all right. Well, we'll look for the Seth Everett Instagram instead to clean our palates.
Well, F that dude. F this Matt Rempe punk. I hope he gets suspended. Kick him out of the damn league. There's no place for that. And I'm a guy who was a huge fan of Scott Stevens, who, say what you want about how hard he hit, he was clean.
Well,
that hit
he,
on Lindros could, is a clean hit.
And he could also just hang in the league otherwise, right? He wasn't a one-trick pony.
I hope Jonas Siegenthaler's okay. I want Nate Bastian back. Look, it's not the point. The Rangers are a better team right now. They're going to the playoffs. My team's not. That's not the issue. The issue is that's who you root for. And if you listen to the podcast last spring, you know how much I hate the Rangers. You have that guy.
Well, it was, I was in Brantford last weekend visiting my parents and, you know, the Leafs played the Rangers that night. And one of our guys went toe to toe with Rempe, actually. And now that I know his name, I know the guy, because you can't mistake the guy for anybody else on the ice. And he held his own. It was pretty good. And then, you know, we beat them in overtime. So a rare Leafs highlight in a season of, still missed expectations. We're still in the race, but I don't know. This seems like my whole life of being a Leaf fan. Like, yeah, maybe we could do it. But there's just so many better teams than the Leafs. When we played Boston middle of last week, Seth, we didn't look like we belonged on the same ice with them. And that was when we hosted them in Toronto as well. So, yeah, I think it's tough because you grew up in Canada. Fighting was part of hockey when I grew up, playing rough and physical and all that. And there's, I think, for a lot of Canadians, this knee-jerk reaction to anybody trying to rein in the goon. But the goon who's not otherwise adding anything, and it's the cheap shots, like you said as well. You and another guy on the other team agree to go to combat at center ice.
I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
But the guy who is actively looking to hurt someone with an illegal, dirty play like that?
Ah, disgusting. Yeah. Disgusting.
Listen, if he hits someone clean over the middle and he takes a few moments to get himself up, that's, for better or for worse, that's part of the game. But a guy who's, you know, catching someone with their head down, with an elbow, with a knee, back turned, any of that stuff, that's not about trying to weaken the game. That's bad for everybody. Nobody's enjoying that when that happens.
Oh, it's disgusting. It's so utterly disgusting. I can't even begin.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot even begin. The Premier League. You sent me the latest odds.
I did.
This past weekend, Liverpool and Man City both left points on the table.
Oh, it was a hell of a game. And like I told you afterwards, Seth, if you told me before the game Liverpool escaped with a point, I'd probably tell you I'm okay with it. But they were so all over them in the second half. The expected goals for the game ended up being something like 2.6 to Liverpool to 1.55 for City. City did have a couple really good counterattack options in the second half. And, you know, they hit the post on one, a header into the crossbar on the second. But, man, and some of the runs Luis Diaz made, who's quietly, I think, been Liverpool's best player all season. But the only thing he couldn't do was put the ball away. He could deke and dive through three or four different Man City defenders. They were the better team and then some, especially in the second half of that game. And just felt like points left on the table. Looking at the last 10 games that Arsenal, City, and Liverpool all have, it's cool that it really is still a three-horse race, very much so. City, like I said, they're roughly 40-45% chance of winning the title now. Liverpool, Arsenal right there, though, and it's really going to be the rest of the way. You got to play them. You're on the road at City in just a few weeks.
In two weeks.
A big one. Yep. That's a big one for you. That might be if you win 3 points there or lose 3 points there. If you both draw, then it's just kind of, okay, we keep plugging along. But either team takes a three-point result there, and they're maybe eliminating the other one already, which is maybe. just goes to show that at the very top of the table, it is a class above the other 17 teams in the Premier League right now.
Yes, it really is. But it's such fun. That was the first time I'd ever watched a Premier League game that my team wasn't in. And that's a big step as a sports fan, because there are only certain sports that I can do that in, the NFL being one of them. I can watch an NFL game between two random teams and have some level of interest. I can't watch a college basketball game unless Syracuse is playing. I can't.
Yeah, you're still crazy for that one. Yeah. But this is what's cool about football in England, though, is, or at least what an interesting contrast, anyways, is that you don't necessarily have to go through your opponent to win. You know, we look at, you know, whether it's Stanley Cup, NBA Finals, you've got a 4 out of 7. You are matching.
Yeah, Liverpool playoffs. There's playoffs, yeah. Right.
Liverpool just plays City twice. We lost, we tied. We could still win the whole thing. We may not beat them all year, and we could still win the Premier League. And you guys are in a similar spot as well, where you just play them twice. But really, the rest of the season about who blinks, who stumbles, you know, who drops a point against a West Ham or something like that. Or, you know, I was going to say Aston Villa, but they're actually kind of less bad this year. But that's going to be what decides the title, is which one of these three teams blinks. But I will say at least Liverpool's final 10 games are not so tough. We do host Tottenham, but yeah, it really is, for those three teams, it's any man's race.
Yeah, I mean, you have to win every week. You have to win every week. That's the feeling that you get, and it's so much fun.
Unless those teams are playing each other, any tie is a loss.
Correct.
A tie is a loss. Unless when Arsenal's playing City. Now, when you guys go to Manchester and play him, a tie for you, that'll be a win.
Yep.
That'll be a win for sure, because you guys will be... because
you stop them from getting three.
Yeah, because City will be roughly 70% to win that game if I was to do it today. Maybe 65%, but I'm going to say 70. They're just that good at home. But they're flawed, Seth. This is the cool thing. They are flawed. We saw it in the second half against Liverpool. Liverpool found a way to make Erling Haaland essentially a non-contributor. Really, he touched the ball just a couple times in that second half. And for a team whose offense was reinvented to go through one player, he was a non-factor in that game. So there is a script there that I don't know if Arsenal can replicate. But if they can, I would say City is vulnerable. I still think they're the best team on paper of the three, and it pains me to say that.
Yep.
But I think they're vulnerable. And that's why, hey, that's why they're only... like I said, 40 to 45% chance of winning it.
Let's just. I can't wait. I can't wait. These games don't happen fast enough. I can't.
And gentlemen's agreement between you and I.
Yeah.
Anybody but City.
Right. Oh yeah. Totally. If Arsenal can't win the league, I want Liverpool. And if Liverpool can't win the league, you want Arsenal.
I'm okay with Arsenal. Anybody but City.
All right. How many people are going to send negative feedback on this podcast? Because so far we've talked about the Oscars, hockey, and Premier League soccer in March, when the title of this podcast has to be March Madness.
Seth, I think they're just going to be turned away by that potty mouth that you displayed earlier. We're going to need that.
I couldn't resist. Hey, I don't curse on this podcast a lot, but when it comes to that punk, I'm going to curse.
Well, what's the expression? In a rated R movie, you're allowed to use it once, and then after that, it's like MA-18 or something like that. So
my rule on Sports with Friends is 5 times.
Okay, that seems in one episode.
In one episode, you can curse 5 times. If it's more, and that doesn't mean we don't publish. It just means we put the explicit lyrics.
Okay. Well, the wheels are turning in my head, but it feels like it would be gratuitous and maybe even forced on my end if I found a way to get there. But all right. Well, we'll keep it clean the rest of the way. We'll do our best anyways. No promises.
All right. It's March Madness. That means college basketball. And it's a fun week because this is the week before the chaos. That is technically March Madness. This is all the conference tournaments. And in your respective conferences, that's your goal. So let's take a look at some of these big conferences, and let's start with the ACC. Let's start with the ACC because I just need a Syracuse odd.
It feels like it's Syracuse, but anybody and everybody else, Seth, at that point. Now, all right, looking at the ACC, it's no surprise that this is a top-heavy tournament, and you have two teams that have been around all season and been around years prior. North Carolina, the number 4 team in the country, they are your plus 150 favorite. And Duke is sitting there as your 11th ranked team in the country. They are plus 165 right now. you know, what can you say about both those two teams? North Carolina, they were in the national championship last year. They played very good basketball all year. Duke, you know, they've kind of found their way a little bit as the season progressed. But because we have to shout him out, because it's the only reason Seth does the show each week, Syracuse 30-1 right now to win the ACC at Bovada.
All right, let's go to the big boys. Let's go to the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, a football juggernaut. What about basketball?
The SEC, yeah, you know me. Not just a football conference, Seth. You know, we have, what do we have? We have five teams in the SEC that are top 25 ranked this year. You know, we have Tennessee as the overall favorite. They are plus 175. Auburn doing big things this year are plus 250. And Kentucky, Seth, I feel like I've been telling this story for every year that Calipari's been there, if not most of them. A team that starts out very slow, a team with very little chemistry and just raw talent, and that by the end of the year, all of a sudden has kind of figured out how to play with each other. And they're a team you don't want to be playing in March, whether it's the SEC tournament or March Madness itself. They are plus 350 right now and taking the most amount of bets on the SEC Conference Tourney Futures Board. Alabama rounding it out at 5-1, and South Carolina, your 15th ranked team in the nation, they are currently 40-1 at Bovada and getting a lot of love at that number.
And then there might be more title contenders in the Big 12 than any other conference. What is your thought on the Big 12?
Yeah, as Seth, we have, you know, the Big 12 was always and already a very, very good college hoops conference. You know, you have your Baylors, you have Kansas and Bill Self, who, you know, we talk about them at every March Madness tournament. And they added a team last year that was one of the top-ranked teams in the country, one of the one seeds, Houston. They brought Houston in, and usually, you know, we would not expect them to take the Big 12 by storm the way they did. But looking at all the other conference tournaments out there, this is surprising. Houston, which is the number one ranked team in the nation right now, they are an outright favorite to win the Big 12. When I say an outright favorite, I mean they are more than a 50% favorite. They are roughly 54% favorite looking at our odds right now. Iowa State plus 350, Baylor 5-1, getting a lot of love, especially after they beat Kansas at home a couple weekends ago. Kansas rounding out that field at 16-1. Again, this is a conference with six teams inside the top 25, likely to be one of the more bet-on tournaments for sure at Bovada.
The cool thing about this week with all these conference tournaments is if you're just like to watch or bet on, you know, sports during the day, there's games all day, like between ESPN and Fox, at least in the United States. There are so many games going on all over the place that all you have to do is put one on. Me, I'm going to go see if I can finally finish Oppenheimer.
Best of luck to you, Seth. I do think conference tourney is underrated. I love it. You know, March Madness next week.
It's a fun week.
We got next week. We got to wait all the way to Thursday. Yeah, we got the play-in games in Dayton as is tradition. I like those. But on a Tuesday, all day games. Wednesday, all day games this week. Yep. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's just, you know, Sunday's so a little bit quieter because it's the championship. And this is every, you know, we talked about the big conferences earlier, but this is, you know, all the lower ones who don't have, you know, the name recognition. You have teams fighting for their postseason lives. And some of these teams who none of us have heard of all year are going to be the ones that inevitably, the math always breaks this way, are going to become Cinderella talking points in just a few weeks' time. So this is the preamble. This is the appetizer to the big show. And folks, just wait till next week because we're going to go even harder for the big tournament.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And look, whatever your conference of choice, most of the conferences wrap up Saturday so that the players can go to their respective schools for Selection Sunday. That's pretty fun. It's fun to see the excitement, you know, of all of them. It's weird, you know, at least from my standpoint, you know, for Syracuse, Adrian Autry in his first year replacing Jim Boeheim won 20 games. To me, 20 games used to be an automatic. Now they are going to need some help. They're going to have to win at least a couple of games. And the way it's slotted, I believe they're seventh seed. If they win their game to get to the quarterfinals, they play Duke. They're not. So, I mean, people are listening to this podcast. They know what already happened, but that would be Thursday, and that's a mess, you know?
Yeah, you know what, but But they went 11-9 in conference this year, and that's the ACC is not the ACC of old. I think only two top 25 ranked teams. It's a down conference, unfortunately. So going 11-9 in a conference that, you know, even Virginia this year, not as hot as they've been recently. And then you look at the rest of the field. But there it is. You got a play-in game. You beat Duke. No problem, right? You can beat Duke. Come on, Seth. Get excited. Get excited. Or just, you know, plan to have your next couple weeks freed up.
We shall see. We shall see. That'll do it for the Bovada at Odds podcast. Enjoy all of the basketball. The Premier League actually takes a week off, so maybe next week we won't talk about it. But nonetheless, no, I'll be asking you the odds of that big Arsenal-Man City game. It never stops. It never stops here on the Bovada at Odds podcast.
Soccer, hoops, or crypto. Deal it up. Let's go. Have a good one, folks.